Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Natural Fertility with Dr. Jane. Of course, I'm Dr. Jane, and today I'm joined by another practitioner in my practice, Dr. Nicole. We are going to talk about, what are we going to talk about, Nicole?
Yes. So I was just sharing with Dr. Jane off screen or off recording here about a conversation I had with a client or a potential new client who just onboarded. And as we were going through things, she was asking me interview style questions, and I had to just stop and praise her for it, because not enough people are doing it where they're asking questions of their providers and they're evaluating who is the provider that I'm sitting across from and what is it that they really do have to offer or how can they help me, especially when we've already seen other providers that work in a similar atmosphere or we've only seen conventional providers. And so we're constantly trying to advocate and teach people, whether it's listeners or on our Instagram Live, and just teach them the kind of things that need to be asked or need to be considered. And I know, Dr. Jane, you often say, like, when it comes to labs, like, the lab that you run is only as good as the practitioner that evaluates it.
Yeah, I think the spin that we really want to give on this podcast is, if you are looking for a provider, I think there's kind of a couple of different categories of, you know, people, if you will, in your fertility journey. Those of you who are looking to start trying soon, and so you're just in the information gathering phase, you're looking to optimize your diet and looking at changing, you know, your water filtration system out and getting more sunshine and more exercise. And those are all the things that we share, you know, very readily through the podcast, through all the freebies and our social media content. And then there is, hey, we've started trying and nothing is happening, but it hasn't been a year. And essentially, I'm waiting for that year mark to see a fertility specialist, which, let's be honest, fertility specialists are IVF specialists. And so basically, you're in this category where you're trying, you want to avoid IVF, but you don't really have a plan and you're just kind of grasping at straws. And then there is the next category where you've either already tried IVF and it didn't work. IVF is not an option for you and you don't want to do it. And it's been more than a year. It's been more than, you know, 2 years, 3 years. And you're in this place where you're realizing that I probably can't figure this out on my own. Because if I could have figured it out on my own, I would have already done that. And you are now in this place where you need to find a practitioner. And I think what, you know, Dr. Nicole is saying is, a lot of people are just blindly trusting practitioners, or they have this ick factor of, like, I don't know if I should do this. You literally had a call with somebody the other day who said, I think I just felt pressured to do IVF, to, like, people please. Mm-hmm. And maybe people pleasing your family, your husband, or the authority doctor sitting in front of you. And to me, it's such a, like, if everything inside of you is going, don't do this, but you do it anyways because you are so worried about the peer pressure or whatever it is, people pleasing, then to me, that's a huge red flag. Because as a woman, you have to trust your body and you have to trust that the body is going to go through this process of, you know, growing your baby and then pushing that baby out and then making milk and feeding that baby and supporting it. And what we're going to dive into is, you should have some criteria for the kind of patient practitioner you are looking to work with, because it's a very intimate journey. It should be. That's how we treat it. And that's kind of what we want to change in the industry, is that you're not just closing your eyes blindly and saying, well, just because this person has a white coat or just because this person has some kind of a degree, I should trust them. There is a series of questions that you should be asking to help you make a decision that is a very big decision. And whether that's to go through IVF or not, or how many embryos, like, are you going to do PGT testing or not? What are you going to do with the embryos that you're not going to keep? Like, there's some life-changing decisions that you are expected to make very quickly with very little information. And that's kind of what we're hoping to change in the industry, because it's like, that's a lot to ask for one person, you know, for a couple. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love, you know, you mentioned the degree portion too. And part of the conversation we had is, like, you know, because she asked, she's like, well, you're a doctor of chiropractic, so how does that equate to being able to help me with what I need in this fertility journey? And I'm like, I love this question. It's such a great question. And what I learned in school gave me the foundation of understanding what makes a human healthy and what makes a healthy nervous system. But learning, and even there's sprinkles of fertility and pediatrics and everything there, But the bulk of what a practitioner learns isn't from the academics. It's from the practice. It's from being in the field, having the right mentors, you know, reading the right content, and just what are they doing outside of it?
Yes.
Or is the person you're working with just going to work to get their paycheck and going home? And it's just not a thought after the day ends at 5 p.m.
Yeah. I love that you said, because I want to bring you back to research. I've been thinking mm-hmm. about this for a long time. So many, and I posted a reel about like, hey, raw dairy is overrated. Like, you should probably stop drinking it. And people are just going nuts because it's like, I love my raw dairy. Do you have any studies to show? So you can find a study to prove anything. You can show that dairy is beneficial. You can show that it's very inflammatory. There's lots of studies showing between A1 and A2, different types of people, all of this stuff. So where I come in with this is based on clinical experience. So if I've looked at hundreds, you know, of stool analysis, and people that consume raw dairy tend to have more inflammation in the gut, they tend to have bugs like Listeria or Giardia or some other infections that are E. coli that are popping up that wouldn't be there otherwise, then I have to question that some of that research and some of that studies, because it also depends on who's funding that study and how big was the trial. And there's so many different things. So as much as it is important to look through the papers and to have the degree that gives us the credibility that says, hey, I went to school and I did these things and I've dedicated, mm-hmm. what the weight of what we actually do comes down to our clinical experience and our ability to coach people. And then, of course, our ability to stay up to date with all of the research that's coming at us very fast, especially with AI now, in the fertility space, you know? So if I ask you, like, Nicole, and I don't know if you have those, but like, what are some questions that people should be asking their providers right off the bat to help them make a decision if this is the right provider to help them or not?
Yeah. I'll start with one of the questions she asked me yesterday, and it was actually her husband who had asked the question, and he was like, I'm confident that you can help me, but what makes you confident that you can help her? And I'm like, this is great. And so we had a good conversation about it, and also seeing, you know, is she feeling that same way? And she came back later on with essentially the same question of like, what makes you confident that you can help us? Because we've already seen other practitioners. And so I think that's one of the first and great questions that you can ask when you are interviewing is, what makes you so confident? Or what do you see that maybe other practitioners have missed or that you think you can do different? And so we find a lot of times, and this is me not, like, I'm not bashing other practitioners, but there are a lot of times where we'll look at labs for someone who's considering working with us, and there were just so many clues that were left on the table. And so it's like, yes, you've done a lot of work, and you've probably moved the needle compared to where you were, so they have helped you tremendously, but there was just a lot of things that were missed. And most of the time I'll say it's because the practitioner wasn't necessarily fertility focused. And so they just don't have those little nuances to piece in.
Or they
so
have I very high capacity, right? Like, we max mm-hmm. out at 30 people, and most practitioners, like most of my colleagues, and everybody's different in terms of how they practice, but I have some colleagues who see up 8 to 15 patients a day, 3 to 4 times a week, 5 times a week. I find is really hard to maintain that, like just boundaries and catching up with administrative work and blah, blah, blah. I like when I have 4 or 5 patients in a day, I'm like, that's a full day for me, you know, and mm-hmm. sometimes it's even less, because if the initial consultation is 2.5 hours, like I had 3 patients yesterday, but it was almost 5 hours of calls. So asking questions like that, are they specializing in fertility? And then what is their capacity? How many mm-hmm. people do they take on at a time? Because that's really important, I think, in the level of care that you would like to receive.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's my... And I don't think it hurts to ask either, as far as like, what is it that they're doing to stay up to date with all the information and know that the information they're providing isn't outdated and it's current? And you know, you may not go ahead and ask, like, who are your mentors? But it's essentially that question. And so much so, like, even recently, I had a couple who purchased, they just made a new purchase item. And it's like some of these big names that endorse it. And it's like, that's great. But it's also, you have to be careful, because those are not the people that you're working with. So they don't know the nuances of who you are and what you're going through. but then also looking into how they do things. So for instance, like one of them, they, you know, they just started marketing towards fertility, but the business has never been about fertility ever. And it's any person who walks in. So it's like, oh, we're going to do this workshop. The workshop is the same workshop that they give for any other condition. And then it's, here's our three lines of supplements. And we're just going to stick you into one of these three lines. And then you'll have a coach. And that coach will just make sure that you're following the system. And it's like, you're almost putting yourself in the same place as you are with some of the fertility clinics that are IVF pushing. And so it's like, you're just flowing through the system and you're not really being seen or supported or coached through that process.
Yeah. The question that I've had asked before, which I thought was really good, it's like, what do you do when you're stuck? Mm. And that's essentially, we have mentors, you know, we have mentors. We, like, as a clinic, we discuss cases to make sure we don't miss anything. I think that's really important. I'm a big proponent of that. I have mentors basically in every single field of my life, and whether that's in my personal, mental, and emotional, in my health, in my fertility knowledge, in my business. Like, I just think it's really important, and it's something that I value. So that's something that I think a lot of practitioners don't give enough weight to. And I mean, like, finding a mentor that actually watches you grow and develop versus uh-huh. you're just getting your TU credits. So like your credits that you need to keep your license up, because that's very different going to a conference and connecting with people. And definitely you still pick stuff up. But it's when you have a mentor who sees and goes, I need you to research this and I need you to try this in clinic. And then when you come back, you can ask me more questions. That is what I'm looking for from a mentor. That is what I do with patients. That's what I do with you guys. So I can make sure that you're actually developing and growing versus like, here's a piece of information for you. And then, you know, hopefully you guys get it or whatever. And then we'll move on to the next. There is that process and development. So I think that's a really great question to ask. Like, hey, what happens if you're stuck, whether that's a conventional doctor or a holistic doctor? In a conventional side, I'm assuming they'll just say, well, you're going to try at least three rounds before of IVF before we change anything. And then you can decide if you are okay with that, if you are comfortable with that, or if that seems fishy to you. If it was me, I would say I'm not doing anything for three times without changing it, because that doesn't make any sense. Like, when I had my first miscarriage, I wasn't going to have another miscarriage to get some testing done. I was just going to do the testing, because to me, that was a lot more less invasive and a lot less time consuming than, you know, just, okay, I'll have three more miscarriages. And what if it takes me 3 months at least to get pregnant and then I miscarry 3 months? That's like 1.5, 2 years. Mm-hmm. To me, that's not worth it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, too, some good criteria just building off of that is, like, if you have worked with a practitioner, sit and think about what didn't work with that person. So for those of you who are on the fence of, like, I've worked with someone, it wasn't a great experience, I'm nervous about diving in again. Well, what about it wasn't a great experience? Because then you can bring that to the table and say, these are the things that I know did not work for me. What do you do that's different? Or what, you know, how can you help me make sure that these things don't show up again? And so that can be an important part of kind of interviewing and feeling the practitioner out. And then also, how do they make you feel? Like, do they make you feel like they're just writing you off, right? I had a couple, and I remember she was telling me that she went to her conventional doctor and she asked them a question, and they basically were like, we make the orders here, we don't take orders. And I was like, that is your first sign that that practitioner is not on your team and they are not working, like, they're not working for you, right? And so that's like, flags should be up. And so if you're feeling that dismissive, you're feeling that shut down, or you're just not feeling like the energy on the other side of that call is really genuine, then trust that intuition, right? If it feels like you're, you know, getting backed into a fear factor corner versus, you know, here's what we can do and here's how we can explore. And, you know, and it's like, we won't sugarcoat it. If there's things that are concerning, we're going to tell you it's concerning, but not in the sense of like, you have, you know, there's nowhere else that you can look, or your only option.
We won't
is
present
to just
you with a problem without presenting you with a solution.
Yes, that's what I'm trying to say.
You
exactly.
might not like the solution, like you might not like the timeline, and there might be some difficulty. But I think most people we meet and come across, and we say, "Hey, like, 3 to 6 months, this is what you're going to see. And most people we ask to give us 6 months because it's just going to take time to shift, even if we go really fast. You know, like if you've had uterine lining that has been really thick and there's polyps and damage in the, and I'm just talking from, I literally just got off a message with one of my patients and we did 3 cycles of really great work and she had like 5 polyps and now she's down to just 1, or maybe she had 4 and she's down to 1, but it's bigger and the lining is still a little bit thick. The inflammation is down, but there's still something going on. And it's like, well, that was 3 months of really great work. Maybe we do need to do surgery. And so now we're going to focus on prepping her for surgery. And then we are also testing the vaginal microbiome. So then like there's so many layers that need to be dealt with that I think most people really underestimate. And it's not that you are underestimating it. It's that you're going to doctors who are oversimplifying things and then oversimplifying treatment, meaning, oh, your immune system is out of whack. We're just going to give you some steroids to suppress it. Or we're just, it's your whatever, like the thyroid is not working. We're just going to give you thyroid. Your blood sugar is dysregulated. We're just going to, oh, you have an infection. I'm just going to give you an antibiotic for 5 days. And it's like, yeah, but what we know now about infections and how many different types, from the parasites to mold to bacterial to viral, and where they're sitting in the body and how they express, I think it's so oversimplified to say, hey, just take amoxicillin for 7 days and you're good. It's like, no, you're not. You know, like, no, you're like, it's just, no, you're not. And how do I know that? It's because I can test it and I can show you that you went from, okay, you had this infection, you did the amoxicillin, we cleared this one, but this one is still over here raging because amoxicillin is not going to do anything for it. And you wiped out all these good bugs and now you're thinking you're good and you're actually not good at all. You wiped out one bug. Of course, not one, but however many, but you still have this other layer. So what are you going to do about that? And so that's kind of my hope, is also to educate, like there's so much complexity. So minimum, we want to give the body that 6 month mark, but we're doing something every month to make sure that we're like propelling the body forwards as much as we can, you know, and addressing all the hidden factors that come up.
Exactly. And that right there is a big thing, is the hidden factors that come up. So that's a good question to ask as well. It kind of plays into that, you know, what do you do when you're stuck? But also, like, what do you do when something unexpected comes up? So if we think that, you know, we're going to run this test, we're going to do this thing, this is going to be the outcome. And it's like, oof, okay, this came up. We weren't expecting that. What do you do, right? Or what's the plan? And it's like, and then also, you know, we had a good conversation once, Dr. Jane, about when you do like antibiotics or you do a killing cycle, and it's like, well, you can't just do that and then be done or not properly support the next step or the afterwards, because otherwise you're just going to create more issues in your health and you essentially create like a healing chaos. And so having, you know, what is the plan and how are we going to determine what that plan is? And that's step-by-step piece. And when you're in a step, you can ask the practitioner, like, where's your head at about my next step? What are you thinking? You know, or what is the purpose of this place that we're in? And it doesn't, if you can't ask these questions and have the person that you're working with be open and receptive to kind of helping you. And even if it's like, hey, I don't want you to worry about that right now because I just don't want you to be anxious. And so I'm going to have you focus here, right? That's still a really good answer. That's not dismissing you. That's telling you, like, yes, I'm protecting your energy. And so knowing that the person you're working with, like, they very much are open to your questions versus like, don't challenge my authority by asking me a question.
Yeah, the ego, I think, is really important. And that is unfortunately something that's really big in the medical space, both holistic or conventional. And assessing for that ego, whether it's feeling dismissed or I usually call it the ick factor. You know, when someone answers, you ask a question and someone just like, ah, don't worry, we'll get you pregnant. No, don't worry about that. We'll be able to get you pregnant, no problem. Where that tells me that there's probably some pieces of information that they're missing or they're not disclosing, because that's pretty, like, just being in the space for 5 years and being a naturopath for 10 years now, I just don't think it's that simple, you know? And you never know. Every time I've been not humble, like, oh, look at me, I can figure this out, I have been shown otherwise. And so I very much know that I'd rather be on the humble side and on the cautious side and help people walk through instead of say, no, there's no problems. You're going to be able to get pregnant, blah, blah. I can just see this is the problem and I see that this is a big issue. And whether that's one of my patients that I'm thinking about, everybody's always looking for one reason why they can't get pregnant. Mm-hmm. And when I, that first meeting, we sit down on our fertility strategy session. I'm like, tell me what you think it is. And she goes, well, we don't know, but like, I think I've been on birth control for 15 years. I've always had painful periods. I had these abdominal surgeries. I always had acne and I've still not been able to get rid of that acne and I'm 35 years old. And I was just like, there you go. Those are all the reasons. And she's like, really? But everyone doesn't seem to think that it matters. And it's like, maybe one of those things doesn't matter, but all those five things added up tells me a lot of stuff. And so I don't know your ability to get pregnant yet, but I know that all of these things are telling me that the body is really overwhelmed. Just the adhesions in the abdomen, you start to think about blood flow and you start to think about things being able to communicate and move through the digestion properly. And then that means you're not detoxing. That means you're not absorbing nutrients. That means so many other things, you know, like toxins and pathogens that are accumulating, let alone the hormonal imbalances that's causing. So it's, yeah, there's some really important questions to ask and to assess and to look at how the person is approaching the case and how they make you feel. Like, I love that you said that, because if you're walking away feeling very small and like defeated after each appointment, like, oh, I failed, I didn't do something. Usually there is some kind of ego involved, I would say.
Yeah, I would say aim to feel like, A, you feel safe with this person. You feel like they have your back, they have your case, they are looking into it, they are going to do the work. And if there's something that they don't know, they're going to try to figure it out for you because they care. I think that's like the ultimate, right? Yeah. If you're working with someone, you feel like you're always driving things and they're doing the bare minimum, also a red flag of like, okay, maybe like if
you have to remind them of your case every time you see them.
Yes. And it's like, you know, at that point, like you might want to seek other areas or other avenues. And it's like, I see that meme sometimes that goes around on social media and it's like, don't mistake your degree for my living with this condition every single day. And I'm like, I love that. And I tell my clients all the time, like, you live in your body every single day. I know clinically what things I want to see, but that doesn't mean those are going to be the things that we see or that we feel. And so I don't know what's coming up for you and I don't know what you're feeling until you tell me and you share with me, because you are always in it and you notice those nuances. And so it's also respecting that part of just being a human that's not going to be in line with whatever the textbook definition says, because we're just not that way. We're too dynamic of beings. And so
yeah. And I think that like that helps us fit part of the picture. One of the emails that I sent last week, Fertility Files, in my email list was about like the women that are just breaking down on our calls. And I think you've had that call. Mm-hmm. I just remember when I wrote that email, I literally had like two calls in a row where the woman just cried basically the whole time, and not like she just couldn't hold it anymore. You could feel that her nervous system was so, so, so overwhelmed. That to me tells me that her nervous system is really dysregulated. And so of course she's going to be inflamed. Of course she's going to be have pathogens and immune system dysregulation and all of this stuff. But the approach there is like, you're not crazy. So we're going to validate that. And then my treatment, like our treatment, is going to focus on how can I bring that nervous system down? And we have so many beautiful herbs and supplements and strategies that we can use to literally help the body introduce safety and trust again. So then we can actually start to figure out what else is going on. Because of course, this journey is overwhelming. Of course, it's exhausting. Of course, like you're dealing with a lot of fears, especially these couples who've been struggling for, you know, 2, 3, 5 years, and they've always wanted to have multiple children. Like it's heartbreaking. Of course, your nervous system is shot. But like you said, sometimes you just feel crazy. You're like, I don't want to say it because I'm always talking about the same thing. And so if you are talking about the same thing, that is the symptom. And so how is the doctor approaching that? Are they making you feel like you are crazy, or are they going, I think your nervous system is dysregulated. So before I can attack the Lyme or the mold or anything else, I have to bring that nervous system down and I have to regulate it. And then I can work through the Lyme and the mold and the heavy metals or whatever it is. And so that's the whole timeline. You know, I'm not going to throw a heavy metal detox at someone who's already panicking. That's not going to work. So understanding the approach from the person, and then, like you said, making sure that you feel like, what is it? Was it yesterday that I said that on one of our appointments? It's like, at some point, like, I'm going to tell you what to do, but at some point you're going to tell me what you need. Mm-hmm. Right? Because then it's like, what is going on for you? What do you think is happening? And then I'll use my little toolbox to pull out, whether it's a homeopathic or ceremonial grade cacao or whatever, to help you move through that next piece, you know?
Yeah. And I think that right there is a big part of it too, is most of the time people are telling you what they need. And it's like, even if they don't necessarily know yet, like you may be talking about the same things over and over, and you may not realize that what you're saying and what you're talking about over and over is actually the things that you need, or they're hinting towards the things that are needed. And so that's why some of the systems, I think, just fail women and couples in general, is because it doesn't take that part into consideration. And so instead it's like, no, I'm going to tell you this is what you need all the way through, and I'm not going to hear what you're telling me or what your body's telling us, and, you know, or your emotions or your spiritual, whatever the case.
We're just
going to
override it, right? Like, we're just going to override your hormones. We're just going to override your system because it's broken anyway. So let me take over. And boy, how much ego is in that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I know, I remember getting a message from someone where she almost worked with us and then didn't. And then she did something else. And then she came back and was like, well, of course this happened. And so I'm just helpless. Yeah. And I sent her a message back and I'm like, you're not helpless. You just need the right support. And that's where she just isn't connecting. It's like, you just need the right support, the right person to help you and listen to you and guide you. Like, you are not, you're not crazy. Like Dr. Jane said, you are not crazy and you are not helpless. You just need to be evaluating the people that you are choosing to put your trust into. And, you know, and like we said, sometimes it's hard with the people pleasing. I mean, even coming from like being in a military family, it's, you know, TRICARE covers a lot of things. And so we'll see couples where it's like, God, they just want to use TRICARE and do IVF because it's covered, but they know in their gut that that's not the avenue that they need to go and what their body needs. And so then it's like that battle between, do I pay for these things or do I just go the people pleasing free TRICARE? I mean, even with my own birth, I wanted to do a home birth, and that was the struggle, was TRICARE would cover all of it if I went in a hospital, but I would not. I just know where my body feels safe, and my body doesn't feel safe in a hospital. It feels safe at home. And so that's where I, you know, with my family, my mother
Those
panicking.
Big decisions. Yeah.
Yeah. And everyone around me was like up in flames that I wanted to do this thing. And I'm like, this is what we're doing. I don't, I'm just going to shut it all off. But I interviewed midwives like crazy to make sure that I had someone who not only was like airy fairy, but if there was any flags, they were taking me to that ER to be on top of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. And so it's the same thing when it comes to who you're working with in your fertility journey, is who's going to help me realize those flags and take action on them quickly and make me feel safe.
Yeah. I mean, thank you for sharing that story, because it's beautiful. Yeah. And my home birth like healed me, because I wanted to have that the first time around. And, you know, I couldn't. And I realized that as I was going through it, I was like, nope, I need to go to the hospital. I'm going to need some help. And I didn't really know what that help was going to be. But, and there was a lot of fear going into my second birth, knowing that, like, what if I can't do it again, you know? And, but I did all the work, and how do I know if that was enough and all that jazz? But I think the main characteristic there is like, if you trust yourself, if you trust that instinct, then it's really easy to block out the noise. But when you don't trust it, then you fall to other people's opinions. And again, Nicole, like, you had somebody on. And my question, like, as I watched that call, I was like, what is it like to make decisions based on other people's opinions? What is that like for you? And it's like, that's exhausting. Like, that's exhausting to think about 10 other people, 20 other people before you get to make a decision, and then have to defend that decision, as opposed to like, no, that's what I'm going to do. It's okay if you disagree. It's totally okay. And this is where, if you are raised as a people pleaser or toughen up, or this shouldn't, authority is everything, whatever it is, you know, whatever your mask or that the glasses that you were put on, that I think like our job as a practitioner is to shift some of those beliefs for people so women can learn to trust themselves. Because 100 years ago, we had babies in the woods. Now, I love modern technology and advancements and all of that jazz. Lots of babies have been saved. Lots of women have been saved because of that. So I'm not saying to go back to that, but maybe a little bit. You know, maybe we come back to some of the woman knows when something is stuck or not feeling, not going properly, and having an opportunity to heal and then redo it again. And that's the beauty of having multiple children, is you get to rewrite that story if it, quote unquote, didn't work out the first time. But and sometimes you can get it right on the first time when you are get it right, obviously, quotations there. But yeah, the ultimate is like, do you know who you are and do you know what you want in this life as an experience for yourself? And then what do you want to bring into this world? And what supports do you need to be able to do that?
Yeah. And are you okay with being an outcast, right? If your community is a little bit different.
Yeah, right, like, off the bat. I'm an outcast. Yeah.
I had a client tell me, you know, she had a dinner with friends and she's like, yeah, I had digestive upset because I ate some things I shouldn't have ate, but I didn't want to be difficult. And I'm like, okay.
Be difficult. That's
I'm like, be difficult. You need to be difficult. You need to be okay with being the person who's doing it different, because that's, you know, standing by that is what's going to help you move the needle in this journey versus I'm just going to eat this thing so that I don't discomfort or, like, you know, inconvenience anybody else. And then it's like, if you can learn to do that for yourself now, the, like, amazing mom you are going to be, because you are not going to do things that will be detrimental to you or your child just to save the inconvenience of other people. You will be able to stand by what that child needs. So it's like doing the work now, asking the questions of the practitioners now, is just going to set you up for the things that you're going to need to do and ask and say and be when that baby is here.
Yeah, 100%. I think the last thing that I would say is picking a practitioner is looking at, like, the data and the results. So sometimes I think it's difficult. You know, you watch a testimony and you're like, this resonates for me. So, like, yes, I'll go for it. It looks like they helped a lot of people. At the end of the day, what matters is the results that you are experiencing. And so I'm very, like, the way that we have, you know, set up practice and care is we're looking at data. And whether that's lab testing at the beginning, or you have an Oura ring, or you have some kind of piece of information or a mirror tracker, whatever it is, we're looking at data, and not obsessively. So we're not, you know, obsessing about little things, but subjectively being able to zoom out and go, okay, I can see that the psycho is really shifting this time, or I can see that your sleep is improving, or I can see that your sleep is tanking, or your heart rate is elevating while you're going through this protocol. And I find that that's really, really valuable, because sometimes getting to the baby is going to take you a lot longer than you expected. But what are the other parameters? And sometimes the initial, there's quite a big increase initially, just because, you know, you were really depleted and now you're not. Uh-huh. And then we need to work through deeper things. And there is usually more testing, more data tracking. But, you know, I've had a patient who I was just talking about her earlier with a thicker lining. She did, like, Lyme and mold detoxing for 2 years, and it made, like, a 10% improvement. And it's like 10% improvement in 2 years is pretty crappy. Like, that's not the thing, you know, that's not the root cause. Because if you're working on the thing that's causing the body not to do what you want it to do, and whether that's brain fog or a regular menstrual cycle or whatever, some things are obviously going to take a bit longer to shift. Like, the cycle is minimum 3 months that we're going to see shifts. And sometimes it takes a bit longer depending on what, if it's a heavy metal or whatever, but other markers should be improving, you know? So, like, 2 years, that's too long for me as a practitioner personally, because I would, like, I think I worked on parasites for, like, 9 months before I was like, I'm missing something here, you know? Uh-huh. And during the 6 month mark is I started to look at something else. And at 9 months, I pulled the plug because I was just like, I'm missing something. You know, it can't be that I still need to do this because I can see that this isn't improving and the data is not improving enough. And so the data is really powerful.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Do you have anything else to add to that?
I don't. I think this was very good, and I hope that all the listeners, you do find this helpful and it helps guide you in your journey of figuring out, you know, who it is or where it is that you need to be and what environment or what person or coach is going to make you feel the safest.
Yeah, Absolutely. And if it sounds like our approach lines up for you, please fill out an application. And well, like genuinely, we want to help women, couples have as many babies as they want to have. We believe that it should be a choice. And if somebody told me I couldn't have my children, I would be fighting for it too. I just really want to, and this is kind of the big mission and vision with company culture is, your fertility journey is your healing journey. Can we make it about healing? And I'm not saying that you're not going to need modern technology to support you through that healing, but you should be feeling better. Like when someone is going in for surgery, I'm preparing them to make sure that they get the best out of that surgery. So then when they heal, the body really does transform. And that's why I love the modern, you know, technology versus we're just going to keep overriding things with more drugs and suppressing the immune system or whatever. And it's like, that gives me the ick factor. And so it's like, if that gives you the ick, we just encourage you to listen to that and make that fertility journey your healing journey.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. Don't stick with the ick.
Don't stick with it. Well, thanks, Nicole, for being here. And like I said, if you guys are interested to work with one of us, please fill out an application form and then we'll take it from there. Thanks again for being here.
Thank you. Bye, everyone.
Bye.